And so tonight we have Brother James Boutte serves with me at the congregation at Highland Heights. His subject on tonight, coming from John chapter 3 and verse 16, his topic on tonight, the power of love. Brother James, share with all our hearers tonight on the power of love. Thank you.
Amen. Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Brother Horace Stroud, for that introduction. And good evening once again, and welcome to the Nationwide Gospel Call. I am so thankful to God for his blessing of life. Once again, amen. For we know that with each breath of life, we have another opportunity to get it right. And for that alone, I'm thankful. And I'm also grateful for the opportunity to proclaim the word of God through the technology he has blessed us with, a way to reach beyond our local communities and to those scattered abroad in many other areas. And I'm thankful for the invitation by the host and our local minister at the Church of Highland Heights Church of Christ, Brother Horace Stroud, and thankful to each of the brothers participating on the call tonight. And I'm grateful for all of you who may be listening in today, and to my family and friends, and to those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. It is my prayer that you become a member of the Lord's church. And we're reminded in Ephesians 4:4, it says that there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. And that one hope, if you're like me, we all hope we make it to heaven one day. That one hope is where we want to be. And that one body, meaning the one church. And how do I know? We're reminded in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, it reads, "And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body." And it is your obedience to God's righteousness that would add you to that body, to the church, the only church that you could read about in the Bible. And as we were forewarned in Proverbs 14, verses 12, that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And we were reminded again in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, that not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So if we want to see heaven, folks, it's, we got to do something. And that's the will of the Father. And 2 John and verse 9 says, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine or teaching of Christ, hath both the Father and the Son." So we must do something. We must do the will of the Father if we want to please him, right? And to do the will of the Father, you must know something. You must know the doctrine or singular teaching of Christ. You can't just believe in anything or just believe what someone tells you. You must be sure of your salvation and know what you believe and why. And as in Romans 16:16, it says, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." You cannot call yourself a Christian unless you obey that form of doctrine. Amen. And for a few moments tonight, I will share with you to some a very familiar scripture. And if you were like me, this was the first scripture that I learned as a child in grade school, John 3:16. But before we go there, I just want to acknowledge the fact that the holiday season is here, right? Amen. The holiday season is just right around the corner. And this holiday season is what the world views this time as a season of giving. The stores are crowded, so be careful out there if you're shopping. Many would travel to see loved ones, attend holiday gatherings. Many would buy gifts for those who they love, family and friends. And giving a gift is an expression of love or appreciation. In other words, because you have a love or appreciation for someone, it would move you to an action. And in most cases, and in this time, is to give. And for tonight, the power of love. John 3:16, and it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world. See, the Bible is telling us because the Father God loved the world so much. And remember, this love will move you to an action, right? But before we go there, let's look at this. It says that for God so loved the world. See, this simply means that he loved all mankind. He loved all that are in the world. He loved the world. He loved you. He loved me. But now, this doesn't mean that he approved of all the conduct of man. But see, he loved us enough to know that we needed help while here on this earth. He loved us enough to know, and he knew that we were in bad shape and in bad condition. But in 2 Peter 3, it says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. See, God knew that we needed a Savior. He knew that we needed to be redeemed, that we were in bad shape. We were separated from his righteousness. It repented God that he made man because of the evil that was embedded into the heart by their actions. But see, God is patient and God is forgiving, and we ought to be thankful for this. And see, God is forgiving and he allows us an opportunity to change. He allowed us an avenue, an opportunity to make better choices. And see, family and friends, if we just be honest with ourselves, you know the way you live your life and the things you choose to do. And see, the Bible tells us in Matthew 6:21 that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, you would often hear me say that the real you is not the one who speaks, but the one who thinks. And see, you do those things that are embedded in your mind. The things you choose to do or the things you enjoy doing offers you some form of gratification or fulfillment, right? And I don't have to list them for you because you know. But see, you have a choice to do what is right or wrong. There's no in between. You are either a positive or a negative influence. You will either live for God or do evil. But the Apostle Paul instructed us in Colossians 3:2. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And see, most of the time, if you ask someone what their goals are, nothing spiritual usually comes up first. And see, sometimes we have to just refocus. See, and when you look up, and see, sometimes we would just have to readjust our focus in life and desire to live and do what's right. And it would open you up to allow yourself to see the greatest expression of love and gift to mankind. And let me get back to the text here. And see, back at the text here, it says that God loved mankind so much that it moved him to an action, right? See, he loved mankind so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And see, God doesn't like the sin that we often commit or the ways that we live, but he loves the sinner. He loves the sinner, and he loved mankind enough to move him to action. And see, folks, this alone is the power of love in itself. See, when you love something or someone, it will move you to action. It moves you to an action of selflessness. Selflessness. Meaning, not being about you, but in care of others. See, love in the verb form is an action of affection because it moves you, it drives you. And true love is sacrificial. And we see it first here. See, God the Father gave his only begotten Son to a cruel world that was doomed for destruction, hopeless, lost in sin, separated from God by iniquities and sin. But yet he gave the world a gift, a sacrificial gift that we didn't deserve. He gave his best. He gave a part of himself. And a common expression of love that you may have heard is giving your last. Giving your last bite or giving your last dollar or giving the best that you got. But what better example we have than this? He gave up his Son to suffer death that we, you and I, might be redeemed from internal destruction. And see, this scripture alone is powerful enough. Powerful enough if you just open your eyes and just see. Just see this power of love. And it goes on to say that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, he sent his Son as a gift and as an opportunity of reconciliation back to him, but you got a choice to obey it or not. And in John 17:17, Jesus, when he prayed, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He says, set them apart through your word. The truth of the word would instruct them to righteousness. And he says, the word will lead them the right way. And see, Jesus, God sent his Son, and Jesus came to this world. He came to this world to seek those who will obey him. Those that are in the world, but not of the world. See, when we refocus, we readjust our focus. And if we just lift up our eyes, in John 12:32, Jesus said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. See, if we just look up, we could see the power of the love of reconciliation. We see Jesus on the cross dying and suffering a cruel death. That alone should just do something to you. It should make you cringe. Can you imagine sacrificing your child for guilty, selfish people, living life how they want to live, partying all night and then go to church on Sunday morning, gambling or blow your money and then just put $5 in the plate? Where are your priorities? But regardless, and thank God that we have a merciful and forgiving God, but regardless of the wrong that you have done or do in your life, what greater love than this? Than a man lay down his life for his friend so that he can be reconciled back to the Father. And see, God the Son, who learned obedience to do the will of his Father, humbled himself into death on the cross. And they beat him bad. They put a crown of thorns on his head and they slapped him. And then they marched him up the hill of Calvary with a cross on his back. And then they buried him in a borrowed tomb. But thank God he rose with all power on the third day. And he commanded to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's Mark 16:15-16. He says, tell them how I died for their sins. Tell them how they don't have to keep living the life that they are living in, that they could be redeemed. Tell them that the price has already been paid. The gift has been given. It was free. Tell them that the Father sent redemption to his people. We was reminded of that in Psalms 111:9. It says, holy and reverent is his name. And when you understand that, how could you even call another man on this earth reverent? He didn't send a sacrificial lamb for you. He didn't die for you. But you give him reverence to call him reverent. He said, you are all brethren. He says, tell them what I did for them, James. Tell them that I died. They slapped me. They buried me. They put me in a tomb. But I rose again, and tell them to just abide in my teachings. 2 John 9, which is the teaching and the doctrine of Christ. He says, tell them to commune with me, to remember me weekly. Take the Lord's Supper every Sunday as the disciples did in Acts 20 and verse 7. He says, tell them, and if they love me, it would influence them to obey me. John 14, verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when love influences what you do, there is no evil. There is no evil. And see, and when love for the right things is in you, it shows by your action. Because you'll move different. You'll speak different. You'll talk different. You'll walk different. And then the right love will last. And see, the love of God is everlasting love. It's free. And it's available to all mankind. And see, this caravan of love is started with God the Father first and available to every woman and every man across the land. And see, God had compassion for you and for me, compassion enough to give the greatest gift. And why? 1 John 4:16. Because God is love. And God gave a gift to show his power of love. Not the love of power, but his power of love. And after Jesus suffered a cruel beating, and they marched him up the hill of Calvary and hung him on the cross, and then it says in John 19 and verse 34 that after he hung on the cross, a soldier pierced his eyes and out came blood and water. And that blood purchased his church, Acts 20 and 28. It says, feed the church of God, speaking of God the Son, which he has purchased with his own blood. And that blood, according to Revelation 1:5, has the cleansing power to wash away your sins, reconciling us back to the Father. And will you be on the receiving end of this power of love tonight? Will you join that caravan of love that God first started and prove for you and for me? Are you ready to surrender to the will of God? You can do so by obeying that gospel tonight. Get with the person that invited you on this call. You don't have to stay in the state that you are in because the price has already been paid. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Romans 10:17 says, so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is it that you hear? He commanded that we go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, it tells us that the gospel is the story of how Jesus died for our sins, was buried in the tomb, and rose again the third day. And we too were dead, separated from God by sin. We are dead to sin. We must be baptized in a watery grave of baptism. Contact that blood of Jesus Christ that'll wash our sins away. We rise as he rose and we walk in newness of life. We must hear that story and we must believe it. Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then Luke 13:3, you must repent. He says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. So that means you can stop what you're doing right now today and turn around and say, I want to start living for Christ. I want to accept his gift that was free for all that he gave. We have an opportunity every day to accept that gift as long as the blood is running warm in your veins. Stop what you're doing and refocus. Set your affection on things above. He says, look to me. He said, if I gave my son for you, I'm going to take care of you. I got you. I gave you the best that I got. Why wouldn't I take care of you if I gave my all for you? So look to me. We need to repent and seek Jesus. And then we must confess. We must confess as the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or we must confess our faults. He said, if you confess your faults, I'm just to forgive you. And then after that confession, we must be baptized. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then that obedience, Acts 2:47, will add you to his church, the church that Christ purchased with his blood and the only church that you can read about in the Bible. And upon that obedience, you can see, you can live, and you can experience. If you stay focused on that power of love that's been free, and that is my message for you all tonight. Have a good night, and God bless you all. I'm Brother James Boutte with the Highland Heights Church of Christ, and thank you for your time. Amen.